I like to see it when many of you wear your name tags. Unfortunately, not everybody is, but we're close. It's important because at Christ Church, we want people not to feel anonymous, disconnected, or unimportant. In this church, people matter because they matter to God. And I think name tags help get that message across. It is difficult to have a meaningful relationship with anyone without knowing their name. A name is a kind of handle by which we can single someone out and let them know that we care for them. When someone knows your name, gives your name, they have a handle to grab your attention and to focus their care on you. Wearing your name tag helps all of that to happen. Speaking of names, one of the most important tasks new parents have is to choose a name for their child. It is not to be taken lightly, because the name they choose is the name that that child is going to have to live with for the rest of their life. We would never think of using certain names. For example, I believe ever since 9/11, few in this country have ever wanted to name their sons Osama. And ever since World War II, few have wanted to name their sons Adolf. Today's gospel tells us about the giving of a name. There is a kind of birth here. There is a dramatic new beginning. But it has nothing to do with the birth of a baby. It happened near that magnificent port city in Israel and Palestine of Caesarea Philippi. With all of its temples and opulent buildings, it symbolized the religion and power of the Roman Empire. Surprisingly, in today's gospel, we meet a very different kind of God and a very different kind of empire who rules with a very different kind of power. Today's gospel is what many say is the turning point in the Gospel of Matthew. After this dramatic event, Jesus makes his final trip to Jerusalem. So far in Matthew, Jesus has been, popular, captivating the attention of the masses with his preaching and healing. He is a kind of celebrity. Now he turns to his disciples before he begins this final and important journey of his life. And he asks them, we might say, for the latest results of the Gallup poll. For who do people say that the Son of Man is? What is the latest poll? And the disciples faithfully report their results. Obviously, Jesus has been creating a stir. So some think, well, maybe Jesus is John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Or maybe Jesus is the prophet Elijah, because he was supposed to come back before the Messiah. Or maybe he's a great prophet like Jeremiah. Interesting response. But Jesus wants to know what the disciples think of him. Silence. Then Simon, son of Jonah, the big fisherman, suddenly blurts out, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." In other words, what he was saying is that you are the Messiah. You're the king that the Jews have been waiting for centuries to deliver them from their enemies, the one sent from God. Thrilled with Simon's answer, Jesus compliments him and says, "Oh, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." And to mark the significance of this dramatic occasion, Jesus gives Simon a new name. In a sense, he gives him a new name tag. From now on, Simon, son of Jonah, will be known as Petros. Peter. Now, I know it sounds like a very ordinary name probably to many of us. I mean, I've known many Peters in the course of my life. But that Jesus chose this name is no accident. For the name Petros, Peter, actually means, in Greek, rock. Peter would be the rock on which Jesus would build his church. Now, in hindsight, it seems, well, a good name for Simon. For Peter would literally become a rock-solid leader in the early church. After all, he was there at Pentecost, the birth of the church, when the mission of the church began. Remember, in the midst of the sound of the rushing wind and tongues of fire, and Peter was there and he preached the church's first sermon. And he carried the mission of the church to its first Gentile convert, Cornelius. But at this point in his life, Simon had not quite been the rock-solid character that his new name said he was. Remember, in our reading from a few weeks ago, he had been an impetuous, impulsive, open-mouth, insert-foot kind of guy. Sometimes he was weak and cowardly. Remember when he jumped out of his boat and started walking on the water only to lose faith and sink? Next week's gospel will tell us that Peter, the rock, will panic, crumble, and criticize Jesus for wanting to go to Jerusalem and face his enemies. And Jesus will rebuke him. He will call him out and say, "Satan!" Even worse, in Jesus' darkest hour of need in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter flees cowardly into the night. Soon, he will three times deny ever knowing Jesus. So much for being rock solid. Perhaps we think that Jesus rewarded Simon with a new name for being the first disciple to pass the test and correctly answer the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And just so the rest of the class does not miss the significance of this brilliant answer by the smartest kid in the class, Jesus gives him a new name. Is that what Jesus was up to here? I think not. It really had nothing to do with Simon's supposed brilliance. Simon recognized that who Jesus was, not because he was so smart, but because, as Jesus reminds him, God revealed it to him. It happened to him. It was a gift bestowed upon Simon, purely out of the grace and mercy of God. Have you ever had something happened to you out of the clear blue, something for which you can claim no credit, something which could only be described as gift, grace? I vividly remember as a young boy, my first bicycle. It was one of those heavy balloon tire models, you know, the kind you see in museums today. It had coaster brakes. And one day those brakes would not work. I carefully took them apart. You see, at that time in my life, I was still living with the delusion that I could fix such mechanical problems. Well, I saw that inside the brake, there were these strange little steel balls, ball bearings, all running around loose. Oh, I get it. They were out of order. All I needed to do was repack them. And I did, and I put that brake carefully back together only to discover that the brake still did not work. And I did this 3 or 4 times with no success. Then I remember my father coming home and saw that I was futilely trying to become a mechanic. He took one look at what I did and smiled. And he reminded me that I could keep on repacking those ball bearings until the day I died and nothing would change, because I needed new ball bearings. You see, the old ones were misshapen, worn out. And all it would take is a quick trip to the hardware store and a new set of ball bearings, and I was back on my bike and the brakes working better than ever. You see, I would never have been able to fix that brake if my father had not revealed the solution to me. He had made it all possible. I was ignorant of bicycle mechanics. I thought I knew what I was doing. I was sure that I had done everything right, but I was a fool. And I needed this gracious, undeserved revelation from my Father. And that is precisely Jesus' point. Simon would have been forever ignorant of who Jesus really was if it had not been revealed to him, if God had not revealed it to him. And to mark the significance of that moment, Simon had to have a new name. And Jesus said, "Here, Simon, new name tag, Peter." That's interesting. Jesus knew what kind of person Simon was. He knew that he was anything but rock solid. Yet, in spite of Peter's ignorance and his foolish impetuosity, Jesus graciously renames this bumbling bull in a china shop, this open mouth and insert foot fool, and says, "Simon, put on this name tag. You're the rock." It was as if Jesus was saying to him, "I know you may not feel like much of a rock. I know that there are times when you feel weak and confused. You know, like that time you stepped out of the boat and began to stink and to sink and tossed around by irrational and deadly storms. And I know there may be those nights when you look at the sky and you doubt your place in the universe and wonder if your speck of life matters in the grand scheme of things. Well, Peter, stand up. Have no fear. Do not worry. For you are mine and I am yours. You are a rock. You matter. On you, you of all people, I will build my church." Oh my. Who does Jesus think he is to talk like this? Does he think he's God or something? Running in the world and talking like this can get you in a whole lot of trouble. It can get you arrested, beaten, and killed, crucified. It did. But God raised Jesus from the dead and declared to the world that Jesus had every right to run around like this and make bumbling fools and crumbling weaklings like Simon Bar-Jonah into solid rocks. This promise changed Peter's life. Oh, I know, yes, Peter continued to stumble. Yes, Jesus will soon call him Satan for trying to talk him out of going into Jerusalem. And Peter, yes, fled on the night of Jesus' betrayal and denied ever having known Jesus. Yet, despite all of that, after Jesus had risen, Jesus met Peter on the seashore And there reminds Peter three times again of his name tag. Jesus pins back on him that name tag he had given him that day at Caesarea Philippi. And Peter miraculously, again, by God's grace, believed his name tag and discovered that he could live with a sense of boldness and freedom that previously would have been impossible. You guessed it. Peter's story is our story. Purely out of grace and mercy, God has given us a new name tag. God knows all too well how much we are like Peter, weak and cowardly. Yet God loves us and sends Jesus to prove it and to change our lives. Today, in a few minutes, we will rejoice with many of you who will remember that day, that very day Jesus met you, when at your Caesarea Philippi, God proved his love for you. That day when water was poured over you and God's promise was spoken to you irrevocably, forever. At your baptism, God looked at you and declared, "You are the rock. You are my beloved sons and daughters. Yes, Jesus is your big brother. I am your dear daddy. And I promise you to treat you just like I treated him. You can count on it." And that's why from now on you are to be a little Christ. A Christian. A Christian. That promise changes our lives, just like it did for Peter. Remembering and trusting the promise of our new name tag, like Peter, like the rock, there is now a skip to our step. We do things differently. We can be rock solid for the kingdom. We boldly care for a world, and we dare to love as Jesus loved. We don't have to hold on to anything. We don't have to live in fear. We can even die, for not even the gates of Hades, not even the gates of hell can ever prevail against us. Amen.